Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Stuff from the Science Lab from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, this is Alice Mattermilk, the science editor at HowStuffWorks.com.
And this is Robert Lamb, science writer at HowStuffWorks.com.
Today, we're wandering into the world of weapons, and we're talking about weapons that change the world.
Yeah, and we were talking about this earlier. The first thing that springs to mind is The Simpsons.
Right, of course, The Simpsons.
Yeah, the Treehouse of Horror episode where King and Kodos take over the world.
Yeah. That's the one where they go to Morocco, and The Simpsons go to Morocco, and they buy that severed monkey hand.
The monkey paw, yeah.
Yes, a monkey paw. That sounds much nicer than severed hand. And then they all make a wish, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Lisa wishes for world peace.
Mm-hmm.
And poor Lisa, it backfires on her, as most of Lisa's plans seem to do.
They burn all the guns. They launch weapons into the sun or something, you know. So everybody's at peace, and that just makes us ripe for the picking for the aliens who land and what enslave humanity with what weapons?
A slingshot and a club, I believe, are the weapons of Kang and Kodos.
And then eventually, the barkeep, Mo, manages to drive them away with, I believe, a board with a rusty nail in it.
Go, Mo.
So these are examples of game-changing military technologies. Each one just drastically changes the face of human or human-slash-alien conflict on the planet.
Yeah, in real life, outside of The Simpsons, we've had a few, too. And they've shaped the way war is waged and won or lost, as the case may be. And when you look at these technologies, and when Robert and I were talking about them before, you kind of see that they start to fall into three categories, right? So you have the weapons that expand the battlefield, the ones that, you know, make it bigger, you know, make the theater of war much larger, spanning continents and seas and all that. And you also, these same weapons can increase the speed of war.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are weapons or technologies, as the case may be, that increase communication abilities between and among troops and soldiers, or their ability to spy on enemy troops and movements and stuff like that. And then, of course, there's firepower, good old-fashioned firepower.
Now, you might be thinking, well, why is Stuff from the Science Lab talking about military and warfare? Well, that's because basically the story of science is also the story of war, because heaven forbid humans invent anything that we can't turn around and kill the next guy with.
All right, giddy up, Robert.
All right,
let's get going.
On that note, let's head straight to, I mean, what seems to me the, and what historians tend to agree, is like one of the big game-changing military technologies of all time. Talking, of course, about the horse.
The horse isn't necessarily something I would think of as a technology, but a technology indeed for our purposes.
Yes, and nobody's sure exactly when this all began, but they say that initial domestication of the horse was probably looked into just for food, just, you know, taming the animal so that you could butcher it and eat it. And at some point, they started realizing, hey, I need to haul this from point A to point B, so why don't I hook something up to the horse? They started using them as draft animals. And then at some point, they're like, hey, I can, you know, ride this into war, and they started developing ways of using the horse in warfare. And they think the earliest example of this is 5,000 years ago.
Wow.
And there's evidence of horse warfare popping up in Eurasia between 4,000 and 3,000 BC.
Are you able to ride a horse, by the way?
No, my wife is an accomplished rider and loves horses. I have not actually gotten on one yet. She keeps threatening to make it happen. Or I think I would probably like ride maybe a pony or like a cart behind
the horse. I once
rode
a camel.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like so you set between the humps?
It was kind of like the saddle set on top of the humps at some sort of zoo place.
I rode an elephant. I did ride an elephant.
Excellent.
But not a horse that I remember.
So have elephants been used in battle? Probably not.
Oh, yes. Yes. Of
really?
Course. Yes. Hannibal?
Oh, yes, 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 yes. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Lord of the Rings didn't actually happen. But still, elephants in warfare are also pretty big. And in Thailand, they were used. Elephants have helped humans out in their warring. But anyway, back to the horse. Another important factor in what they call the equine revolution is availability of food. And this is the transition from hunter-gathering to actual agriculture, all right? Before, you know, hunter-gatherers, you're going to wage war for what? Just, you know, oh, you're picking berries from my shrubs, right? But with the development of agriculture, suddenly there's the ability to have a true surplus of food. So you could actually attack the other guy and you'd have something, you know, really tangible to steal. And the horse allows you to not only get the drop, but to run away with the food. All right. Because basically anybody can, in theory, surprise another armed force. You know, you can creep up there on your feet, but then once you've surprised them, you're going to have to make your getaway. And you can only run so fast, and the other guy can run too. But the horse allows you to make a steady escape. And from there, this just kicks off a horse-based arms race. All right, they start attaching clumsy wheeled vehicles to the horses, and these evolved into chariots, which were in a way another game-changing technology because these were basically the super weapons of the time. Then you had other advancements such as stirrups and saddles. The stirrup was really important because you could actually sit down in the saddle, put your feet back into the stirrups, and put a lance under your arm and drive it directly into the enemy. So you'd have the force of the horse behind the weapon. So the horse was a major contributor to our ability to destroy one another. Unwittingly. You can't blame it on the horses.
Definitely not. Mr. Ed is not to blame.
Yeah. From there, it kind of goes along similar lines. Eventually, we're able to develop steam technology, and eventually the combustion engine.
Sure.
All right. And this basically just picks up where the horse left off, and it alters the speed and range of war. All right. We can travel farther, and we can travel faster. And it also changes. It also changes what kind of supplies you're going to need. It's no longer do you have to worry about feeding the horses as well. You just have to keep the tanks gassed up.
Well, don't they even use internal combustion engines on ballistic missiles? I think they do. So it's powering.
Combustion engines, led to pretty much any kind of motorized weapon you can think of, from airplanes in the sky, you know, to submarines under the sea. It just totally changed. And speaking of which, that's the other major transportation-based, game-changing weapon technology, air power.
Sure.
And this is pretty obvious. It just opens an entirely different theater of warfare. All right. You suddenly you're able to to fly over the battlefield, provide air support for your troops. Therefore, you don't need as many troops on the ground.
Right. No, land is impenetrable now. Now, I mean, we don't have to have Omaha beaches and stuff like that with troops washing up and these great waves on the shore. I mean, we have air power. So, I mean, anything is game, right?
Yeah, they offered an alternative to typical land and sea invasion. You know, it's just another way into enemy territory. And at the time, people thought that bombarding civilian populations would be the kind of thing that would just instantly bring about peace, that the nations would just crumble far faster with that kind of threat over their heads. The horse, the combustion engine, and powered flight, all three of these have changed how far we can travel, how we travel, and the speed with which we can get there. So these are all basically weapon delivery systems, and they've changed the way we wage war.
Right. So if you have all these delivery systems, you have to have a means of controlling them and communicating with them and, you know, changing the game plan if the troops are on the move. And so communication is a major theme within military technology. So before recent times, commanders could still reach their troops, but they just had to rely on stuff like, you know, a guy running, or a guy on a horse, or flags, or maybe, you know.
Use of banners and some guy standing on a hill watching everything.
Or the pigeon, you know, the messenger pigeon. But this was a problematic system, as Napoleon could attest to back in the day. There's a story of Napoleon forgetting about a few thousand troops during the Battle of Jena. So Napoleon surely would have appreciated the advances in communication that have come about, like the advent of radio and its subsequent introduction into the theater of war. So first, we had the wireless telegraph, and this led to lots of cracking codes and stuff like that, which I kind of love.
Oh, yeah, the Enigma code and so forth. Yeah.
Right, so you're communicating your message over a wireless telegraph, and granted, it's getting the message there faster, but it's open to enemies and spies and stuff like that. By World War II, though, you have shortwave radios. And this was a huge thing for the Germans, actually, because the Germans, as you guys might remember, did these coordinated blitzkrieg movements in which pilots and soldiers are all talking by radio. And so you have one airplane who's providing cover and tanks are moving in. And it's this kind of
lightning war. That's the literal translation. Yeah.
Yeah, right. In addition to shortwave radio, you have radar. And this is the first automated way to really see the enemy and be seen yourself. So goodbye to that guy on the bluff who's looking out for approaching troops or ships. Radar let us bounce radio waves or microwaves off solid objects and then alert us if, say, an enemy plane is flying into our particular neck of the woods. Then, this is actually another favorite because I love all spy stuff, you have the spy satellite. And this is as far back as the Cold War, essentially. Countries have been sending up recon satellites to see what the other side is up to. Modern spy satellites can do more than just take photos. They can collect telephone, radio, and internet signals. The problem seems to be is that sometimes these images or information that it captures seem to be a little blurry. Have you ever looked at some of these photos?
I'm thinking of the Arrested Development episode with the WMDs, but that's different because those turn out not to be WMDs. But yeah, you can only get so clear an image, and then you sort of have to decide exactly what you're looking at.
Yeah. Yeah. And then beyond spy satellites, we have, of course, GPS. And this basically turns the world into a giant, instantly accessible map. And that's pretty handy if you're a soldier with no earthly idea where you are, suddenly landed in foreign territory. So that kind of covers the major advancements in communications. But we saved the best for last, which, of course, is firepower.
Yeah, well, the best, but also kind of the worst. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the most impressive one, the most explosive one.
Yeah, and yeah, it definitely has the most bang.
Yeah, so let's move on to the big guns.
Okay.
First, we have gunpowder, and we have the Chinese, basically, to thank for this. They came up with it while they were trying to mix immortality elixirs.
Really? They created the exact opposite of that.
So the Chinese made early versions of gunpowder weapons, including, like, bombs and guns and even a type of cannon called, get this, the Flying Cloud Thunderclap Eruptor.
Wow. Is that I can just imagine the instructions for that somehow being very hard to follow.
So gunpowder, of course, changed China. And once it made its way across trade routes, it also changed Europe and Asia. And it gave those people the ability to dominate over the barbarians. And it was also eventually said to have crumpled the Byzantine Empire.
Wow.
So gunpowder is a pretty game-changing technology. But in addition to gunpowder, you have to have the ability to focus it, right? You know, you have to be able to hit your enemy if that's what you're aiming to do. And so this is where grooved gun barrels actually came into effect. So you want to take the big ones?
Yeah. You know, what are you firing and what are you blowing up? You know, we've been talking about gunpowder, which is pretty effective. But we also developed some pretty terrifying armaments on top of this. First of all, there's biological and chemical weapons to consider. And by chemical, I mean technically gunpowder is a chemical weapon, but we're referring to everything that's not gunpowder or an explosive.
Stuff like mustard gas.
Mustard gas for, as far as chemical goes. And then for biological, things like anthrax or botulism toxin. And these are pretty terrifying in that with all these, it's just it allows you to kill more people. And not just people. I mean, chemical and biological weapons can be used against armies, but they can be in civilian populations, but they can be used against plant life, crops, animal life. They've proven pretty tricky too, in that you can't make a chemical weapon or biological weapon that only kills your enemies. It's going to be dangerous to your troops as well. They're very difficult to control. The effects are unpredictable. You don't have to look any further back in time than World War I to see just how, like, psychologically terrifying they were. They were used to great effect and to great terror during the First World War. And as a result, you didn't see as much use in the Second World War, because all the major leaders in the Second World War had been troops in the First World War, and they'd seen the effects firsthand. This will probably get cut, but there's a great poem by Wilfred Owen, Dulce et Decorum Est, World War II poem. You've probably heard this, right? Gas, gas, quick boys, an ecstasy of fumbling, fitting the clumsy helmets just in time, but someone still was yelling out and stumbling and floundering like a man in fire or lime, dim through the misty panes and thick green light, as under a green sea I saw him drowning. You know, so that has always kind of given me the chills.
I've not heard that before.
Yeah. So, I mean, terrifying weaponry. And very effective. An ounce of botulism toxin can kill an estimated 60 million people. So that's something to think about. As a result, they've been, I think, 22 participating countries agreed to ban biological weapons in 1972, and there are a lot of similar bans on the table for in place for chemical weapons as well. And then the big one, of course, is nuclear armaments, the ability to split the atom and create a nuclear explosion. This particular weapon has fortunately only been used twice in warfare. Once at Hiroshima, where it killed 90,000 people, and once at Nagasaki, where it killed 35,000 people. And I think the true terror of this weapon is evident in how little it's been used. You don't have to look any further than the Cold War to see just how it can really just chill out military aggression, at least overt military aggression. And we're continuing to live in an age where military conquest, defense is defined by the fear and the threat of nuclear weapons.
Yeah, and then you have smaller robots, like stuff that can search for booby traps, like the PackBot, or you have bigger remote-controlled trucks or tanks, you know, with computers inside them, and mm-hmm. then, you know, doing stuff like clearing mines, and then the drones, like you said, doing recon in the air.
And then eventually the robots take over and turn all the weapons on us, right?
Right, and also we have clone armies.
No, we don't have clone armies.
That could be the way of
that,
the future.
That article didn't happen, as I recall.
Well, it wasn't for lack of trying.
It was pitched. Right? Will clone armies change the world, or what will clone armies take over? And
okay, Robert. Yeah. So, if you think we missed a military technology, send us an email at sciencestuff@howstuffworks.com. Or brush up on bots of the military kind, or the top 10 game-changing military strategies over on the site.
And you can check out the blogs, where we talk about everything from what the latest podcasts are about to megastructures.
Again, you can always send us an email, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening, guys.
more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Want more HowStuffWorks? Check out our blogs on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.